In order for us to continue to walk faithfully in Christ until His return, there are some very practical principles which we can apply within our lives on a daily basis so as to help us to grow with God and to become more Christ-like day by day. These three principles which I'd like to discuss are prayer, fellowshipping with other believers, and continuing to read and study God's Word. The first of these, then, which I'd like to discuss together with you, is the principle of prayer. And I'd like to ask you to take your Bible and to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Prayer is a topic or a subject which we need to understand because each of us within our lives needs to develop a relationship with God which is based upon an intimate communication between us and Him. God is our Father. We are His children. And therefore we can talk to Him. We can talk to Him and know that He listens to us, that He hears us, that He cares for us, and He will guide us and lead us according to that which is good for our lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." God's desire for us is that we come to Him in prayer. And here the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, sets forth God's heart, God's desire concerning prayer. And that is that we are to make our requests to God. That is, when you and I feel that we have needs within our lives, we are to make those requests known to God. We are to offer our prayers to Him. And then we are to also make intercession. That is, we are to pray for each other as believers within the body of Christ. And then finally, we are to offer thanksgiving to God. These are very basic components of prayer. Because prayer, in essence, is simply talking with God. Talking with God in an intimate and very personal way. God, being our Father, knows our needs before we even ask, before we even make our requests known to Him. However, our prayer life with God enables us to communicate with Him, to express our hearts to Him, to get these things off of our minds, off of our chests, so to speak, so that we know that God is listening to us, and so that we know that we have communicated to Him in a way which enables us to walk with Him in alignment and harmony with His Word. Prayer sort of opens the channels between us and God. God, of course, is love. He always loves us. He always cares for us. He is always there guiding us and directing our lives. But we need to be able to lift our desires, our needs, our cares to Him in a very personal way. So the Bible here tells us that we as believers need to make those requests to God. We need to make intercession for each other as believers. When we know that one of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ has a need, we should pray to God concerning that. We should lift that need to God. Also, when we simply know that there are things which we are thankful for, when we realize how much God has done for us spiritually, or when certain things occur within our lives, we should offer those thanksgivings to God. Because He is our Father, and He deserves that praise, that prayer and that thanksgiving which we can offer to Him. This prayer, then, this prayer life which we have as believers, enables us to develop a very tight, personal, and intimate relationship with God, whereby there is a two-way street. We can talk to God, and we know that He, by way of His Spirit, can guide us, direct us, and lead us as well. As believers, then, we have two ways in which we can pray to God. By means of the Spirit of God, by praying with that Spirit, that is. In other words, by speaking in tongues. This prayer bypasses the understanding of the believer. And it's a way by which we can offer spiritual praise and prayer to our Heavenly Father. But we also need to pray with our understanding. This enables us to clear our minds, to know that we have offered all that we desire to God as our Father, the requests, the desires, the needs, the intimate longings and needs within our hearts, so that we can continue in fellowship with Him. The essence of all prayer, then, is simply talking with God as our Heavenly Father. And the basis for prayer, the goal for all of our prayer, should always be the desire to know and to do God's will, to please God as our Heavenly Father. Here we see that as we offer our prayers to God concerning our relationship with Him, our day-to-day walk, our fellow believers, as well as praying for the political leaders of the world, we can know that God is working within the world as well as working within our own lives, and thus we can live quiet and peaceable lives, better enabling God's great desire and will to take place, which is for all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, the second thing then, the second very practical thing which we can do within our lives to continue to grow with God and to remain faithful in Christ Jesus is to fellowship together with like-minded believers. Turn over to the book of Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. All of these three principles, prayer, fellowshipping with other believers, and the reading and studying of God's Word, we can find throughout the Bible examples of them and specific instruction regarding them. But we need to understand them that in the light of that they are for us something which is just a very practical means by which we can continue to grow with God. It's simply common sense for us to talk with God as our Heavenly Father, to pray to Him. It's simply common sense for us to get together with other believers who are endeavoring to live Christ-like lives, so that we can help each other to grow with God, so that we can help each other in a very practical way, whether it be in a physical sense, a financial sense, or whatever way it is, to bring our problems to each other, to help each other in whatever way we can. And then also to read and study the Word together so that we can help each other to understand that better as well. In Romans chapter 1, then, beginning in verse 8, we have some information of Paul here in his writing to the Roman believers. And it says in verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of His Son, is my witness, how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you." You can see how Paul wanted to come to those believers, and yet his greatest desire was that he could do God's will. Therefore, he was seeking to do this according to God's will, at the right time and in the right way. Verse 11, "I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong." And that's my desire for you as a believer, and that's your desire for your fellow believers. We all want to do whatever we can to help each other to grow, to become strong, to stand steadfastly for God within this life. Verse 12. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. This is the great benefit that we derive by fellowshipping together with other believers. Whether it be with one other believer, or several, or a whole group of believers. Whether it simply be meeting together within someone's kitchen, and sitting down together and studying the Bible together, or praying together. Or whether it be with a large meeting of believers. The purpose is always the same, and that is so that we can be strengthened together by each other's faith in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. All fellowship is to the end of edification of the body of Christ. That is its purpose. And that should always be the goal of meeting together with other believers. What can I do to help you to grow with God? What can you do to help me to grow? And how can we help each other in a very practical sense within this life? That then is the purpose of fellowshipping with like-minded believers. It's to help each other. And you remember it says in Galatians that we are to be especially good to the family of God, to the household of faith, to our brothers and sisters within that body of Christ. Therefore, this is the second very practical thing which you and I can do. We should endeavor to seek out others who are desirous to know God and to live for Him. And then we should fellowship together in whatever way that we can on a regular basis or whenever it's available so as to help each other to grow with God and to stand for Him within this life. Now, turn over to the book of Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Because the third very practical principle which we can put into practice in our lives is to continue to read and study God's Word faithfully. The Bible is for us the guidelines or the rule book for our lives. It is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. And therefore, within this life, it gives us instruction so that we can be equipped for whatever this life brings our way. You remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it said that all Scripture is God-breathed or inspired by God. And it's to the end that we can be instructed in righteousness, that is, in the right way of living our lives. When we do that, then we will be equipped for this life. Here in Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 4, we have a statement concerning the Old Testament Scriptures, but the application is just as true for the Bible as a whole. And beginning in verse 4 then, we read, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us." That's what the Bible was written down for, to be instruction for us, to help us within our lives. It was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. As we read and study God's Word, the Scriptures, we can grow in patience. We can grow in endurance. We can grow in strength with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God can be a constant comfort to us. And as we read it, as we study it, as we gain a knowledge and understanding of it, our hope in God and in the return of His Son, Jesus Christ, will always be foremost within our lives and in our minds. The Bible, then, is for us that which we need to help us in our day-to-day lives. It is our spiritual nourishment. Just as Jesus Christ had stated earlier in the book of Matthew, that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word of God. Therefore, as believers, we need to study that Word of God. We need to read it, and we need to let it sink into our hearts, our lives, so that we can live it on a day-by-day basis. As you continue then to read the Bible, the first thing that you should endeavor to do is, as I've stated earlier, to read it and to focus on its major principles. Endeavor to get an overview of the Bible and to read it in that light. The parts will always fit within the light of the whole. And therefore, read the Bible that way. Read it so as to enable it to speak for itself. Read it for understanding so that you can put it into practice within your life. It's inevitable then, as you continue to read and then study the Bible and to try to get into its depths, that you're going to feel the need for further information about understanding the Bible. Don't be discouraged when you have questions. Don't be discouraged when there are things that you don't understand. Instead, endeavor to ask others. Find others who perhaps have a greater knowledge or understanding of the Bible. Seek out other works about the Bible, written materials about the Bible, books, research works that can help you. For instance, a Bible atlas. A Bible atlas can help you to gain a knowledge of the geographical understanding of the Bible, something which is very important with regards to studying the Bible in detail. Secondarily, you can read other works, for instance, such as a Bible dictionary, which can give you background and detailed information about certain aspects of the Bible, as well as words, phrases, titles, and information about the different characters and customs within the Bible. Another thing that eventually you may want to consult are certain commentaries about the Bible. And then there are other works as well. Therefore, continue to read the Bible, and first and foremost, simply read it to understand it, and then to apply it within your life. Then, as you continue to study it in depth, you may want to consult these other works as well. Now, the last thing that I'd like to look at within this class concerns the spiritual battle in which you and I are in. And I'd like for you to turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Because you and I are in a battle, and it's a battle between God and His kingdom, of which you and I are a part, against Satan and his kingdom of evil. It is a spiritual battle, a battle which you do not see in the senses realm. We simply see its manifestations in the senses realm. Therefore, you and I need to live our lives in the light of this understanding. We need to look at the great picture which is presented within the Bible of God's desire for us to be able to live for Him, and how He cares for us, and what He has in store for us in that future kingdom of God which is yet to come. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see an overview concerning that spiritual battle which is taking place. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our struggle is not against the senses world. It is not against people. It is not against flesh and blood. It simply looks that way. But it is instead against the spiritual forces of evil, Satan and his kingdom, those spiritual rulers, authorities, and spiritual forces of evil which are behind the scenes, so to speak. You and I are within God's kingdom because we have received that Spirit of God. And we are looking forward to the final fulfillment and the coming to pass of that future kingdom of God when we will reign together with God and all of His children forever. Until that time, however, there is a battle, there is a struggle taking place within this world. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. You and I, as believers within this world, are to put on that full armor of God, so that when the evil day comes, that is, the day in which evil is prevalent, and that day is today, the day in which Satan is the god or the ruler of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the Bible calls him. You and I know that the true God is the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Father, the one of whose spirit we are born. And therefore, we put on His armor so that we can stand within this evil world. Verse 14, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, that is, of the devil. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We, as God's children, are to put on that armor of God. We are to walk as His children within this world by putting on the armor of light, by standing firm for Him, looking to the hope of His Son, of the return of His Son, Jesus Christ. Look over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We then are in a spiritual battle, and that spiritual battle is a battle which must be fought with spiritual armor and spiritual weapons, the weapons of God's Word and the truth contained within it. You and I are the children of God, and as we live for Him and make known that God, we have the assurance that we will be with Him through all eternity. Verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. We are to stand firm in the faith. We are to resist that devil. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. As long as we live in this world, each of us as Christian believers, wherever we live within the world, will certainly have to endure the trials and tribulations of this life. That's because there is the spiritual battle going on. And yet, we have that hope of Christ's return. And we know that for all who believe in Jesus Christ, that hope of His return, in which we will receive that future inheritance, will always be before us. Therefore, verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ. God has called each of us to eternal life, to that eternal glory in Christ. God, who called you, who called me, to His eternal glory in Christ. After you have suffered a little while, that is, after we have endured within this life, after we have stood steadfast within the trials which this life brings up, God will Himself restore you and make you strong. God will never allow us to go through something which is more difficult than we can handle. He is with us. He will strengthen us. He will make us strong. He will make us firm and steadfast. Our God is a faithful God. He loves us, and in every situation, He is at work to bring about the greatest good for us. Verse 11. To Him, therefore, be the power forever and ever. Amen. We as God's children, then, are to stand firm for Him, to be steadfast in faith, to put on the armor of God, and to stand firm until the day when Jesus Christ returns and gathers us together to be with Him for all eternity.